3, 2, 1.
Here we go! Welcome to What Just Happened from the No Normal Show, brought to you by BPD, a marketing services firm that delivers the future to healthcare's leading brands. What Just Happened is our new bite-sized compass for healthcare marketing leaders navigating an industry that refuses to sit still. It's quick conversations with BPDers and industry leaders where we break down the headlines that are shaping healthcare marketing and marketing in general. And we've got some other changes and big announcements that we are excited to share. But before I dive into all of that, I am your host today, Emily Baker. I am the VP of Innovation at BPD, and I am here with Victoria Davis.
Hello, hello. Happy to be back. Victoria Davis, Group Account Director here at BPD.
So we've got some juicy topics to address today. Yes. But before we dive into all of that, I want to address the elephant in the room, one of which is that we've been off the air for a few months, and I am not your regular host, Stephanie Weirwill. Stephanie is well. She is off bringing her amazing brilliance to our clients, and I'm sure she will be back on the No Normal Show later this year. But we have been super busy in the No Normal Lab trying to figure out the best way to bring our listeners the insights and the connections that we get to be a part of every single day when we work with our clients. So one of the challenges that we kept running into was the challenges and the innovations and the problem solving and the trend lines that our clients are dealing with are so much bigger than a single episode or interview can like truly hold. So we are super excited to announce that we have a new format for the No Normal Show this year, where we're going to be able to dive really deeply into complex topics and bring you multiple voices to cover a topic from the inside out. So we're taking kind of a serial seasonal approach. So please stay tuned for that. We will have our first season out dropping very soon. But in the interim, we are also launching What Just Happened, because at the same time, we want to remain agile and be able to share our hot takes and the headlines and all of the news items that we're seeing as they're happening. So this is our first one. This is our first episode of What Just Happened. And it's going to be a little different because it's not just one big thing that happened. We want to catch up on all the things that have been going on since really the new year. So we have three big storylines to talk about. But before we dive in, Victoria, where is your head at almost two months into 2026?
Emily, it's February 25th. We're almost 3 months into the year, which is crazy to think about. But I just love like the new opportunities that a new year brings, that a new quarter brings. I think our clients are excited. I think our teams are excited. I think we have a lot of creative that's coming out into the wild this year that we worked on last year. The big game was a few weeks ago. So as a marketer, as an advertiser, I'm always like, ooh, this kind of sets the tone for what's going to be happening within our space. And a lot happened within healthcare, even in those spots. But I think more importantly, we're just all thinking about like, how can we work faster? How can we work more efficiently? How can we just be better partners to our clients? And the world is moving at a exponential pace, I feel like. Like it's changing not even by the day, but by the hour because of AI and all the things that we'll discuss today. But almost half the quarter in, I'm still feeling rejuvenated from the holidays.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. That is definitely a positive because with that pace of change, it's easy to wear yourself out. It really does feel like every single day there's a new headline that just like sets the tone for the entire day. And then we do it all over again the next day. Well, that's awesome. So I think let's go ahead and dive in and start talking about some of those big, juicy topics. So one of the most important major moments for us happened right at the beginning of the year, and that was the entry into healthcare by just about all the major AI companies. So, of course, Google has been in this space forever. They've got a lot of health-focused research. They have DeepMind in their cloud business. But we also saw OpenAI roll out ChatGPT Health, where users can connect their medical records and their wellness apps and get, you know, personalized generative AI health insights. And the company is also rolling out enterprise tools. And then right behind them, like literally 2 or 3 days after, was Anthropic with Claude for life sciences and Claude for healthcare. So they also are playing in that, you know, clinical, more life sciences research space, as well as consumer, the consumer side. So I know I've been seeing this still as a major move. A lot of our clients are talking about it since it was announced. What are you seeing?
Same. I don't think anyone was surprised. I think even in internal conversations that we were having, we knew that OpenAI was going to come into the health sphere very soon. They were teasing it out with some of the partnerships they had. I think it just goes to show AI is here to stay. Generative AI is here to stay. Consumer use of AI is here to stay. And even some of the stats that OpenAI put out around the consumer use of AI for health-related needs. In the same way that we used to Google our symptoms, we're now using generative AI to figure out what's wrong with our bodies, what's ailing them, and then taking those really prescriptive, in some cases, details to our providers. So the question now is, if these two major tech companies, three really with our friends at Google, are engaging, how are health systems, how are hospitals, how are friends within healthcare going to partner with them to just create that, you know, a better care experience in general?
That is exactly what I've been thinking about, because, you know, we've already heard of clinicians experiencing patients come in with their ChatGPT, you know, write up of their ailments. And I'm sure in some ways that may be frustrating for a clinician. But at the same time, if it's a way for consumers to track and process their health experiences in real time when they're not with their doctor, and then they have all of that information that can better inform the interaction that they have with the clinician, like that seems like a net positive to me.
Yes. And wouldn't you want, if you were a provider, wouldn't you want them to come in and be proactive with their health experience, right? Not just treating them, but them saying this worked, this didn't work. And also considering how trust is eroding across healthcare, this is a great way to just help build that trust a little bit, because people feel like they have a more sense of agency in those exam rooms, in those operating rooms, in whatever rooms they're in where care is being provided. This is a win for the industry. And so I always say this, we should not run away from it and say, you're against us. We should embrace all the change that's coming.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely feels like there's just a ton of opportunity for health systems to create a more frictionless experience for patients, a more informed experience for patients. It's really exciting.
All these little bots that are popping up, you can go to any website. It's like, hi, I'm your friend Stuart. I'm just giving out a name. Stuart or Bella or whatever. They're basically like dog names. If we're seeing it on every site that we're going to, it just makes sense for the places that we go for our care to also be integrating that in. But it's a great segue to kind of what you all saw at Joe Public.
That's right. That is a perfect segue. We are going to do a full episode on this, I'm sure, but we just wrapped our 10th Joe Public retreat last week, which is crazy that we've been doing this for 10 years. This is our annual meeting of the health system marketing minds, and sensing a theme, our entire session this year was about AI. It was called the AI Dream, and the focus was really all about transforming the marketing function with AI. And I know this is something that we've been talking with our clients about a lot over the last year, 18 months. How are you seeing, Victoria, with the marketing leaders that you work with? How are you seeing them approach AI within their functions?
I think our clients are across a spectrum in terms of AI transformation, AI integration. But I do believe that they're seeing 2026 as a year to kind of get off the bench, to get into the AI game, and candidly get the rest of their team into the game as well. I think for the first time in probably a long time for healthcare, we are not behind the eight ball, which is fantabulous. We can almost become a leader within this generative AI space, and not just utilizing chat for like work functions within marketing communications, but creating agents and doing all kinds of things, as you were saying, to create that frictionless experience. So conversations like what we saw with with Joe Public and other thought pieces that we're putting out are giving our clients the tools that they need because they want to save money. Their CEOs are like, how can I save money? How can you work more efficiently? And, you know, on the low, low, how can we also, you know, make more money to provide better, you know, more care to people who need it most? So AI is going to allow them to do it. And I think it's going to be the tool, the arsenal, if you will, and, you know, and really helping them achieve those goals.
I totally agree. And that was exactly what we were seeing coming out of the rooms at Joe Public. There was a real palpable sense of building and architecting, like what you're saying. People don't feel behind. There may be a little bit of concern of just like, oh, gosh, we got to move fast because this stuff is moving so fast. But there really wasn't that sense of we can't catch up or we can't do it. And the structure was really cool this year. So we had six teams. We broke them up and each of them developed a really bold vision for the healthcare marketing function in 2028. So just 2 years away from today. And I won't go too deep into where all of the visions netted out, because again, I think we'll do a separate episode just about that. But it was really powerful to feel that excitement. You know, there was a lot of conversation around no one wants to continue marketing things just for the sake of marketing them. It doesn't meaningfully move patients' hearts and minds. It minimizes the breadth of what marketing and communications is really capable of in terms of building trust and elevating the brand and yes, driving volume. And to your point, like, no mission without margin, pulling in revenue, having a sustainable system. So it's a real shift for a lot of these organizations. But the leaders in the room all showed up so strongly and with such vision. And it was just really exciting to be a part of.
I think what's interesting is that nothing is without, this is all within the realm of everyone. Every hospital, every health system, everyone listening can do something on a quarterly basis in 2026 to help kind of transform how AI is integrated in their system. I think sometimes people think it's like a huge elephant that they cannot digest, but I've always believed that the biggest things in life, like you eat an elephant one bite at a time. By just creating the vision and kind of leading that strategy, you marketers can position themselves as really like value drivers for their system and not so reactive in nature as we have been maybe perceived in the past, but a lot more strategic, a lot more business driven, and really able to, you know, have a seat at that table, and which in some cases isn't the case for a lot of marketers and communicators across the healthcare industry. So find out the piece that works best, I think, for your system, for your hospital, and use that as like a pilot program, a launch pad, and have some quick wins and, you know, talk to us here at BPD. I just don't want anyone to feel like AI is too big for me. I can't use it. When in actuality, like, there's so many components to it. It's accessible to everyone, which I think is both is more blessing than a curse at all.
I totally agree. And I love that. It truly is a like one bite at a time situation. My other kind of favorite mantra in this and all things is don't let perfect be the enemy of good. There is this vision of this truly automated, truly AI enabled, you know, marketing function like we've never seen before. But we can't wait for all of those functions to be possible to start building there. You know, this metaphor, we're all probably sick of building the plane as we fly it, but it's true, we are. So it's like, we can't wait for every data stream to be completely perfect. We've got to just start exactly what you said. Pick a lane, pick a function that's going to add immediate value to your organization and jump in. You'll learn as you go. I so agree with that.
I'm excited to hear what else you all learn or share.
Yes, when we do our full episode, we'll get Stephanie back for that one, I'm sure. And it'll be really great. It was awesome to see where people's heads are at. Okay, so our last topic of the day are the landmark social media trials that are currently underway. So these started earlier this month, earlier in February, and Meta and YouTube are both facing claims that their platforms deliberately addict and harm children. And for what it's worth, Snapchat, and TikTok were also originally named and settled out of court. So Victoria, what are your thoughts on all of this?
Oh, man. When I saw that, I think this has been a conversation since, I mean, this is 2026. I would say in the last 10 years, there has been people coming for big tech, for the big social agency, saying that they are hurting our children. And I'm not a parent, so I don't want to comment on that part. But I do think as a hospital, as a health system, especially if you're in pediatric care, mental health is a huge part of the pediatric journey now more than ever. And when you think about all the topics that are out there right now, from gender affirming care to like what children can do to have agency on their own, those can be really polarizing. What we don't want is for children to feel like they are being bullied online. That's a universal topic that we think no one should experience. And I think this is a platform that a lot of hospitals and health systems can kind of rally behind and say, and take a stand and say, we believe that children should have access to good mental health care. We're going to partner with these organizations that could have town halls and conversations with the big tech companies and talk about, there are beautiful pros around TikTok and Facebook and Instagram, things that we witnessed in the course of our usage, Emily, as we've been, you know, growing and becoming adults. And so I think to make it so extreme is on par with America today. But I do think that, again, hospitals and health systems can really use it as a platform to bring more trust in what they're providing and say, we believe that children should have good mental health. Here's a great way that we can do it, and partner with these big tech firms.
Totally. I completely agree that this is such a easy, I don't want to say easy win, but an easy opportunity for healthcare systems to say, you know, this is sort of, we're going to plant a flag in children's mental health. Like that, there is so much work that needs to be done, and who better than a health system to serve as that convener role. I just think this is a really interesting case because I see it as indicative of like a wave, a very slow moving wave, representing kind of a big shift in our attitude around these social platforms. Like you said, this has been going on for some time, and we all know that the phones and the scrolling and the TikTok, like, it's not serving our greater purpose. You know what I mean? And I feel like this case has the potential to really solidify that knowledge. I mean, we know it already, but the outcome of this case, I do feel, lends some legitimacy to the reality of the addictive nature and the harm that these tools can cause. And for marketers, I think it's interesting, you know, for health system marketers, I think there's all the stuff that you just said about how we really have an opportunity to lean in and stand up for kids' mental health and help parents navigate this. As marketers, I feel like we're coming at it from a different perspective because these are key tools. These are key platforms and channels that we use to reach our audiences. And, you know, even if this shift is happening, I don't see, you know, usership declining anytime soon. So these platforms are still going to be core components of any engagement plan that gets created in 2026. But I have watched media evolve quite a bit in my lifetime alone. So I don't think it's crazy to consider a world where Meta isn't one of our go-to approaches for reaching patients. I don't think we're there. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow or next year. But we know that these generational shifts happen and new technologies upset the apple cart. So bringing it back to the lawsuit, I feel a shift in that direction. You know what I mean?
I mean, consider this. When I first became a marketer, Facebook, all you could do was like be friends with people and you had to, you know, be affiliated with a college. And I remember like going to my boss and be like, I think there's potential here for us to like really leverage the community nature of this. And they couldn't see it. And I'm like, there's something here because we're all connected on this platform. That's basically like intro to influencer marketing in 2008. Look at that, how that's evolved so much. So 1,000%, these platforms cannot exist the same way they have in 2026. 2030, I really believe, will be a big year for the world. Why? Because it's a new decade. I think we'll see how generative AI that we just talked about will be a lot more, a larger tool. And social won't exist the same way as it did before. Today, where we have social first, digital first campaigns, and like traditional tactics are like viewed as like old and archaic or whatever, there could be a world where like social is viewed as archaic, which baffles my mind to think about. But that could be where our world is headed. And I think that the children that are being shielded could create something that will solve this problem.
I think that's really interesting. And I know it is mind-blowing to think about, but also, and this is what I say, even in my lifetime, like it was once mind-blowing to consider that most American households wouldn't have cable television. And now it's like, oh, who has cable anymore? It also poses, I think, a really interesting question around our role as healthcare marketers when we think about the profit incentives of some of these companies. Because if you think about it, obviously Meta and the platforms like Meta are incentivized to make their products addictive because they want to have more people on the platform for longer. Why is that? So that they can look at ads, right? And so if we are advertisers, as advertisers, we have a role in this discussion. And I think our content as healthcare marketers obviously is different. We want people to be aware of their care options. We want people to be aware of cancer screenings and urgent care facilities and whatever else. It's not the same as marketing luxury sneakers or handbags or whatever. But at the same time, we spend money on these platforms. These platforms do not benefit the health of their audiences. So what does that mean for us, right? It's like, how appropriate, this is a hot take, but is it like putting an ad on a package of cigarettes? Like, we would never do that, right? And I'm not likening social media like to cigarettes, of course.
That was my medium. Thought, though. I literally thought that when I saw this article, I was like, this feels like when people were saying that we can't be advertising cigarettes anymore, which not the same thing. But when you think about it, like children are like taking their lives and doing terrible things. So
yeah,
I don't know.
It's definitely tricky. I just think it poses such interesting fodder for conversation.
If anything, clearly, it's an opportunity to think outside the box as a marketing communicator. Leverage some experiential, leverage some activations, get back into the offline community. That may be the trend that we see going into like the latter parts of the 2020s.
I totally agree. And even if social remains a tactic, I think it what you're saying just speaks to a fully fleshed out, genuinely omni-channel approach to engagement. Like, sure, you can share about your campaign on social, but you should also be doing those things so that you are building that real authenticity, human to human connection. I love it. Okay, well, that is all that we have time for today, but please make sure you share the show with your friends and your colleagues and give us a review and rating on iTunes and Spotify. All of that would be very much appreciated. Victoria, thank you so much for joining. This was a great
combo.
And thank you to the listeners for tuning in to our first episode of What Just Happened. Stay tuned. We've got a lot more coming. Bye.
3, 2, 1. Here we go.